Across the nation, people are gathering around TVs and radios to watch and listen as the worst terrorist act in history unfolds. Military bases around the world went on high alert. Federal buildings from coast to coast shut down yesterday. Guards and barricades came out. Some shopping malls, small businesses, and state buildings closed, partly for security and partly in mourning. The country tried to comprehend what had happened and what it means. NPR's John Burnett reports.
What do we do? Unfolding before our eyes, in real time, is an event that will alter history, and in ways we cannot yet discern, change our own lives. Yet what do we do? Across the nation yesterday, millions of people sleepwalked through work. They went home, gave blood, called a loved one, said a prayer, anything to fill the hollow sense of helplessness. In Atlanta, Karen Vahely drove over to Hartsfield International Airport, where passengers had been stranded who'd arrived on early morning flights. Hartsfield, like every other U.S. airport, grounded its planes yesterday.
We just saw that we've been watching the news all day, and we just felt so bad not being able to do something. So we saw that 30,000 people were stranded, so we thought maybe we could come down and house some people overnight, especially families or women that were alone. We're starting to maybe give up because we're not getting any takers, actually, so I think people are just afraid, maybe a little bit to trust people and afraid to just leave a secure place, so maybe we'll just have one. But she's very nice and she's very grateful.
At the Red Cross Blood Bank in a suburb of Salt Lake City, people began arriving at the white brick building before it opened as soon as they heard the horrific news from the East Coast. There were so many blood donors, 2,000 were signed up for later appointments. Lisa Loyne is a marketing director who waited 3.5 hours to give blood.
This tragedy is just shocking. And all the people that are either injured or dead, this is kind of the only support I can do with where I'm at the moment. We can't get out of the state. We can't do any much else. So, you know, anything that for our fellow Americans that we can do, I'd be there.
Many American workers probably reacted more like Daniel Ambrosio, who was trying to put together the next edition of Adventure Cyclist magazine in his office in Missoula, Montana.
People couldn't concentrate very well on what they were supposed to be doing today. And what they were supposed to be doing today didn't seem very important. I think everyone's dumbfounded by what's happened.
None more than the survivors and victims' families of the Oklahoma City bombing, which happened 6 years ago. Members of this close-knit group have been calling each other all day, says Priscilla Salyers. She fell 5 floors after the Murrah building blast and lost 2 co-workers. For her, yesterday was filled with deja vu.
It took me back to the day of the bombing of our building, and I was having anxiety, having trouble breathing. My heart was going out to the victims' families and survivors and what they're going to be going through. I had a very hard time. I felt like I was going to have a panic attack, but I came on into work, and I'm just kind of numb.
Until yesterday, that disaster, in which 168 died, had been the worst terrorist attack on U.S. soil. Kathleen Traynor lost her 4-year-old daughter, her mother-in-law, and father-in-law. But she cannot believe what has happened in New York, where the 210-story towers dwarfed the 9-story Murrah Federal Building.
These are huge buildings. They're massive buildings. And the number of people that are in those buildings have got to be thousands, tens of thousands. And you know that there wasn't enough time to get all of them out. So the human toll here is incomprehensible at this point. And all I can help but think about is all those many hundreds of thousands potentially of people who are going to be left behind by this horrific thing. I'm just beside myself. I don't even know what to say.
For security reasons, federal workers were sent home in droves across the nation, including thousands of employees at NASA, but not Commander Frank Culbertson. He and 2 Russian crewmates are aboard the International Space Station, which afforded them a unique perspective on the World Trade Center nightmare, said NASA spokesperson Eileen Holley.
The space station is orbiting at about 250 miles over the surface of the Earth, and this morning as they passed over the eastern coast area, Frank Culbertson called down to let the ground team know that they could in fact see a plume of smoke rising from the area of New York City. His comment that came down was, "Our prayers and thoughts go out to all of the people there."
Young people in the United States have a steady diet of fiery explosions on movies and television shows, but once children realized that yesterday's images from New York and Washington were the real thing, some were filled with anxiety. At Stevenson Elementary School in Douglas, Arizona, Principal Gail Zamar says teachers took the opportunity to talk about the attacks with their students.
One question that I personally, a student asked me is, is there a bomb? And I said, well, what do you mean? And they said, do we have a bomb here? And I said, no, sweetheart. And I talked a little bit about the two airplanes that had hit the Trade Center, and that there was nothing here at our school and everything was safe.
The sense among some Americans was that something ended yesterday morning when the Twin Towers disappeared from the New York skyline and a gaping hole opened in the Pentagon, and some new indefinable era was beginning. That feeling of a dreadful destiny realized was apparent last night at a candlelight vigil in Austin. Thousands of students stood silently in front of the administration building of the University of Texas as the western sky gave way to brushstrokes of pink and blue. Derek Dees is a senior from Danbury, Texas, who's majoring in business administration.
You know, for people our age, for people who are in their early 20s and people younger than us, there's never been a tragedy like this. There's never been a war. You know, our parents saw Vietnam, our grandparents saw the World Wars. This is our biggest thing that's ever happened in our entire lives. And I mean, for a lot of, we're scared. We grew up under that secure environment, safe world, and this brings the reality that, you know, we're not the nation that is safe from attack.
What to do with the anger, despair, sadness, and frustration? Churches across the country held special services yesterday, if not to make sense of the madness, at least to offer solace. Down the street from the candlelight vigil, All Saints Episcopal Church held an evening service led by Father Kevin Bond Allen.
I see that an act of terrorism is calculated, not so much as to how many people could be killed or wounded, but to inject a contagion of panic and despair to the greatest number of people. And we are its victims, for life in America will be changed forever as we wake up tomorrow. And we fear what will come next, and our hope seems shattered amidst the rubble in New York City. But as I consider this further in prayer, I'd like to share with you that the grip of terrorism, after the horrible crime has been committed, can only hold power over us that we give it ourselves.
John Burnett, NPR News, Austin.